This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. So sometimes someone will say something that really just gets under my skin. It niggles away and I contemplate it and I ponder it and I chew it over for a long time because something about it just doesn't feel right. Like, just doesn't fit with my experience of the world or my understanding. And yet it's something that I hear a lot. So the example I'm thinking of at the moment is the phrase work-life balance. It is totally one of those things. It doesn't jive with me. And for the longest time, I wasn't sure why. But when it hit me, it was like a total aha moment. Because the issue I take with the phrase work-life balance is that it implies that when you're working, you're not living. That during working hours, you don't have a life. Because the phrase gets bandied about so much, the assumption is that work isn't enjoyable and that we should expect to feel this way about our jobs. They're a daily grind and then we get to go home and actually have a life. How depressing. Seriously. The way I see it, life is the heading. Holidays, relationships, projects, and work all come under the heading of life. Or they should. This is my thought. If you don't feel like you're living when you're at work, then you probably need a new job. Easy enough to say, I know, not so easy to do. When I realized what it was that this phrase put me off so much, it was because I also started to realize how much I'd bought into it. I've been in the charity and not-for-profit sector since 2003, and in that time I've had a lot of jobs, including setting up a not-for-profit organization for GBLQQTTI, Alphabet Soup of Youth, so that they could have sustainable safe spaces in Calgary. I've worked in administration, fundraising, and project management, all within this sector. I've worn lots of hats, the moment still in the same sector, doing design and brand management. I've enjoyed most of them, but not always. At a certain point, I seemed to be stuck in the fundraising and admin side of things. I was building up my CV with all these great positions and roles, getting to hire and train new staff, implementing processes for thanking and banking, developing on and offline marketing materials and supports, but there was always a lot of data entry and general office busy work. I was good at it, don't get me wrong. I like things to work, and I'm one of those people who's very organizationally minded, so I like to organize, and if something's not working, I like to make it effective. But I didn't always enjoy it, and at the end of the day, it really did feel like I was exchanging my time, or my life, to get a paycheck, and that was that. Like, I could get paid so that I could then go and live. I didn't get a lot of joy or satisfaction or sense of growth and discovery or even a sense of challenge from my job. And going in every day soon became a drag. So I'm the sort who gets immense satisfaction from a job well done. I love coming home at the end of the day and feeling a sense of accomplishment, feeling tired because I've done something with my skills and my talents and I've contributed to something bigger, to a greater whole. And with a lot of the administrative roles that I was in, I'd get stuck in a kind of holding pattern of maintenance. I was getting the machine to chug along, and I was just another cog. Meanwhile, I had all this untapped creative energy. Fortunately, this was recognized at the first charity that I was working at when I first came to London. I had an absolutely brilliant manager who saw that while I was good at organization, I wasn't driven by it or passionate about it in the same way that I was about design and art. So he recognized that, and to keep me at the charity, he recognized that he needed to give me creative projects or I was going to get bored and go somewhere else. So I actually owe like a lot to him, because he was the one who arranged for me to get access to the Adobe Creative Suite design programs. At that time, I was just dabbling, and I still hadn't had this realization about the work-life balance thing. And like most of the population, I figured a job was a job, although I often said that I felt it was important that what you did also reflected who you were, and vice versa. So I have a strong work ethic, so even if I don't enjoy a job, I stick to it, and I do it to the best of my ability. And there's also a lot of neurosis in my motivation. I become crippled with fear, the thought that someone might think that I'm lazy or inadequate. Even though no one's ever expressed that, for some reason, I have this neurotic worry that that will happen. it's not particularly comfortable, but the result is that I will have a high rate of output. On the less neurotic side of it, I take pride in a job well done. So my manager, he recognized quite a lot of this before I did, really, and he encouraged me to start creating materials for the fundraisers that I was supporting on a daily basis in my role as, running fundraising. So I began to make some posters and leaflets and other general materials to promote the charity and what it was doing. It was a great crash course, really, but it still hadn't occurred to me that maybe there was something more to it. In my head, I had this giant block that said you needed to have post-secondary for certain jobs. Without going to college or university, how could I possibly do, quote, insert awesome career choice here? Of course, for some careers, this is always the case. Like, for example, you can't become a surgeon or a lawyer without schooling, obviously. But we do live in a society that seems to dictate schooling is necessary for all careers unless stated otherwise, rather than that schooling isn't necessary unless stated otherwise. Let me share a story actually to illustrate that point. A friend of mine enrolled in art school. She was thrilled and incredibly enthusiastic, and at the time it was absolutely, definitively the right choice. She got all her supplies and eagerly awaited the autumn and the start of her classes. I remember talking to her lots about it and actually thinking this is perfect for her, right? 6 months in, she dropped out. She emailed me to let me know, and I replied a little bit stunned, "But you were so excited. What happened?" What happened? She realized that it didn't matter if she spent $10,000 a year attending art school, or if she graduated with honors, or if she had amazing grades. Going to art school didn't guarantee that she would make money from her art. But she considered if she took that $10,000 and invested it in traveling and art supplies and taking some business courses, then she'd have inspiration for her art, things to make it with, and the skills to market and sell it. So options two, of doing that investment instead of going to school, it still doesn't guarantee a career in making art, but in the scheme of things, it's a lot more practical in its approach. So it was about at this time, actually, that I was talking to my friend and she was going through this, that I decided to quit the job that I was doing at that time, this admin job, to do something, anything different. The creativity that I'd been offered, that my manager gave me, is great, but it had reached its maximum, because ultimately I still was doing a lot of dead entry and stuff that just wasn't feeding my soul, right? My plot at that time was to actually go into life coaching, and so for a year I did put in a solid effort until I realized a few different things. So mostly I realized that I preferred to give advice away for free, which is probably why I'm now doing this podcast. Not that this is advice, this is me just sharing stuff that I've tried in my life that works really well. And, you know, if it benefits others, fantastic. But I digress, as I tend to do. Point is, while I was setting myself up as a life coach and kind of putting myself out there and tentatively testing this out, I did take on a part-time job at yet another charity where I was doing more fundraising admin work, because this was what was on my CV. And I continued to offer my design skills in that role, in this new role. So I made some leaflets and collection tin stickers, and I was doing this stuff for this new employer. And then one day my manager said, "This is all really great, but we would rather pay an actual real designer to do this stuff." I admit, it hurt. It stung. But it also sparked something in my brain. So I'd been designing print materials at my previous job for over a year. I'd taken short design courses at the Chelsea College of Art and Design and Central St. Martin's. I'd been on an intermediate training course with an Adobe-approved training company for Illustrator. And I was also busy online finding freelance clients and kind of dabbling in that. I was doing some logo design for startups, small businesses, and stuff. I was a real designer. I was even getting paid for some of the stuff. And the following day, someone did pay me for a logo. So I stopped thinking that I needed anything more than curiosity, a willingness to learn, and all the artistic skills that I've developed as a child and throughout high school in order to be employed as a real designer. I quit that job and I started looking for design jobs. Within a month, I was hired as a part-time in-house designer at a charity that had just rebranded. I continued with these short courses and stuff, and there are all these fantastic self-directed online courses I discovered, which included certification. And I just kept on building up my portfolio with freelance logo design as well. Within 7 months of getting that first post, I was given a permanent full-time position at the same charity as brand development manager. Within a year of being told by someone else that I wasn't a real designer. The point I'm trying to make with this is how we limit our experience by buying into what society tells us are the steps to accomplishing anything in life. We limit ourselves by assuming that work needs to be some boring, dull place we go to in exchange for our time, so that we have a paycheck, so that we can then go do the stuff that we actually enjoy or that gives us a sense of accomplishment. We limit ourselves by thinking we need a particular degree or credential to do a specific career when so many careers are best learned through experience. I admit that I have often struggled to get work because I don't have post-secondary on my CV. I've been passed over for jobs that I was fully qualified for, seeing them being given to someone who wasn't as qualified but had a degree, even if it was like in a completely unrelated field or subject. Just because they had that degree, they got the job and I didn't. But in the end, I have real-world experience and a ferocious level of curiosity and a strong work ethic, and these are all the things that get recognized and encouraged in any professional position. My willingness to learn is a grand thing to have, and we do live in a glorious age for learning. If you're really passionate about something and you genuinely want to try it, and you genuinely want to teach yourself something or do something different, the internet at your fingertips, there is really no excuse not to learn a new skill, any skill, and see where it might take you. In a year, I landed my dream job, seriously. And I'll do it again, over and over and over again, because I am a polymath, and I like to do a lot of different stuff. And I don't want to limit myself. And I don't see work and life as things that should be in conflict with each other. I do want to live where life is the heading. And work is something that comes under that. And work is something that I think we should be passionate about and we should be engaged in and we should enjoy. And that's not to say that it needs to be some dream job like, well, in my case, becoming a designer. I mean, one of the best jobs I ever had was working at IKEA. And that was because I had a great sense of accomplishment at the end of the day. I would come home and I was tired, and it was because I had built $250 worth of furniture that day that was now out there in a display or available for somebody to buy. It was just really nice. It was very satisfactory. And it just fed my creativity and my fun of creating things. I mean, right? It's that really ideal kind of job. So I'm not even saying that this is something that applies to getting those lofty jobs. There's nothing that we can't do if we don't put our minds to it. We can learn so much, really, we really can, if we're just very open to the idea that we don't need to have an institution to teach us, that all we need is our mind and willingness and a lot of curiosity. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Funwolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.